Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're speaking to Philip Alston, the former UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights. He's also a professor of law at the New York University School of Law. Philip, now, I want to talk a little bit about your key recommendations in your final report. Now, beyond urgently adopting a more meaningful poverty line, which is your main key recommendation, what are some of the priorities that Malaysia should be focusing on in eliminating poverty, alleviating poverty?
I think probably the biggest issue is the need for a much more coordinated and systematic approach to social protection. Government officials have acknowledged that there are well over 100 different programs. They're spread across something like 20 different ministries. Their impact is really poor by any standard. They do very little to redistribute wealth from the well-off to those who are most in need. And, of course, the total amount of spending is also crucial. Malaysia spends something like, I think it's 17.9% of its GDP on social protection. Neighboring countries spend an average of 28%. In other words, you can't expect to be providing the sort of educational, housing, nutritional, and other services that are needed if you're simply not making the appropriate budgetary allocations. So Philip, Malaysia is really an outlier.
Sorry, Philip, you know, in your many conversations you had while you were here, it was 11 days, but I know you also received papers and such before your visit, so you were well prepared for your 11 days. The conversations that you had, in the minds of the Malaysians that you spoke to, policymakers, what is stopping this country from, in fact, changing the way it approaches poverty? Is it an ideological barrier? Is it a lack of imagination? Why is it it?
Or is it the fiscal constraints that Malaysia finds itself in?
Malaysia has, as we have noted, done better than most other countries in economic terms. And so it does actually, or it has actually, had very considerable scope in the past. I think the basic argument that I'm making is that we shouldn't see social protection of the poor as money down the drain. That's how many people see it. They say, look, we can either spend on a new airport or a new major road, or we can spend on housing and education. But infrastructure is what's really going to benefit us. The reality is that investing in children, ensuring that there are decent educational opportunities, if you knew the state of schools, particularly in Sabah and Sarawak, they're just atrocious. And that's going to repay Malaysia in terms of the educational standards of its citizens. Education, housing, health, nutrition are an investment, and they can make Malaysia stronger, improve the economy, and shouldn't be seen as a trade-off against broad economic growth.
Can I ask you, Philip, does the private sector play a role in poverty reduction?
The private sector inevitably has a significant impact, but it is absolutely essential that governments do not outsource the basic responsibility to the private sector. The private sector is not equipped to undertake poverty elimination. They don't have the incentive, they don't have the powers. And if I was in business, the last thing I'd be doing was trying to skew my business model in order to support the poorest people in the country. It's just not a good economic recipe. Mm. That is precisely the role of government, to to encourage, to incentivize private actors, but also to be ensuring that government resources go to shoring up the dilapidated schools, to reinforcing the health system, and to making sure that the 6 million or so migrant workers have access to at least basic health care. That's not going to be done by private enterprise of their own accord.
Philip, we understand that inequality is a global conversation and that poverty alleviation, I guess, has to be organized on a national basis. In the sense that recognizing that Malaysia has made some progress, is there something that the world can learn from Malaysia? Is there something that we did right that could be replicated elsewhere?
Well, Malaysia is it's a wonderful country. I think it has struggled over the decades to maintain the ethnic balance. But certainly if we look back to the early history, things have been much more peaceful and harmonious than expected, and that yields and feared. And that is always a very important part of economic success. Mm. I think Malaysia has invested very effectively in infrastructure. I think it has had governments that have ensured that there is serious economic planning at the macro level. That's why the Achilles heel for Malaysia is the failure to apply the same sorts of careful policy considerations to micro level decisions and to ensuring that the bottom 20% of the population, which is a very large number of people, are also benefiting from the miracle in the way they should.
All right. Well, Philip, that's all the time we have. We want to thank you so much for joining us tonight on the show, all the way from New York, as I understand that's where you are. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time and your insights tonight. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.